Well, good morning. Isn't it a joy to be here together this morning? And isn't it wonderful to see what the Lord has been doing in and through New Work Fellowship? You know, I just believe He's not done yet. I think there's still more that the Lord has in store for you, for me, for all of us as a group of believers. And if you're here this morning and you've seen the salvation stories, you've seen the baptisms, you've heard the stories that God is telling us and teaching us through His Word, and it's impressed upon your heart that you need to take a step in faith, let me encourage you to do that today. Because I really believe that there are those that are still here in the room this morning that are watching online that you're right on the edge. You're right on the edge of stepping into obedience in Christ. And let me encourage you and let me tell you that that is the best decision you can ever make in your life, is the decision to be obedient to God, to be made right with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. If it's a step of salvation, today is the day. If it's a step toward baptism, today is the day. If it's a step toward joining New Work Fellowship and becoming a member and saying, you know what, I'm all in, today is the day. Let me encourage you to take that step as the Lord leads you. Now, today we're starting a new teaching series. It's entitled Prepare the Way. And we're talking about John the Baptist over the next few weeks. Now, let me ask you a question real quick. When you think about John the Baptist, what comes to mind? Now, I'm not talking about your friend John that goes to the Baptist church, okay? I'm talking about the biblical character that we see introduced in the Gospels. What images come to your mind when you think about John the Baptist? Now, I don't know about you, but to me, immediately, I'm in the desert, right? And in the desert, there is this lone figure, this man standing there, and he's preaching a message, and he has wild hair and camel skin clothes, and he's got this big belt, and he is preaching powerfully, and there's a message that is told about John the Baptist and his purpose in this life that just rings. These words ring over and over and over in my mind when I think about John the Baptist. Do you hear these same words? Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. It seems like when I think about John the Baptist, according to the biblical picture that we see in Scripture, that this is what he was all about, that this is what his life was about, that this is what his purpose was about, that he was a leader, a biblical leader that we see God working in and through. Now, what we're going to do in this teaching series is we are going to look at John the Baptist as a model of biblical leadership, not just to look at John the Baptist, but to also see who we are in Christ. Did you know that in Christ, as a believer, you are a leader? That God has a call on your life. He has a purpose for your life. And when we step into that, we see God work in a way that we never could have imagined in the first place. John the Baptist was definitely unique. You're going to see that in Scripture. He was an original, right? But did you know that you are as well? And that you can step into the unique call that God has for your life and follow Christ in a way that matches who He created you to be. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to open up to the book of Luke. We're going to look at two passages of Scripture today. The first one is Luke chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. And then in just a little while, we're also going to look at the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. But let's start in Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. Now, while you're turning there, let me introduce myself to you if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet. My name is Corey. I'm one of the pastors here at New Work. And man, I'm so glad that you've joined with us in worship today, whether you're in the room or whether you're watching online. Let me remind you that we ask everybody to fill out that digital connect card, okay? So you've got a QR code that's available to you, should be on your sermon notes there. You can scan that. That's going to take you to our sermon notes page and a digital connect card that you can fill out. We ask everybody to do that, but especially if this is your first or second time filling that out. If this is your first or second time filling out that digital connect card, we're going to make a donation in your honor to a ministry, a kingdom partner here in Christian County, and you can make a difference for Christ just by filling that out and us making that donation in your honor, okay? Let's look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verses 13 through 17, and let's just kind of answer this question: who was John the Baptist? Who was John the Baptist? Now, when we start to read in verse 13 here, what we're going to see is that this is a conversation going on between an angel, Gabriel, and Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, talking about the birth of John the Baptist. But let's look at how he is described right here, beginning in verse 13 of Luke chapter 1. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." So who is John the Baptist? Let's kind of break this passage down a little bit, and let's look at how God describes John the Baptist. But we're not just going to look at this description of John the Baptist. We're also going to look at what God's word says to us about who he created us to be and the purpose that he has for our life as well. Okay, so let's begin with the first part of this description here in verse 14 as Gabriel is talking to Zechariah describing John the Baptist. Look at verse 14 and the first thing that's said about him. "You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." I mean, the birth of John the Baptist, the person of John the Baptist was foretold through Old Testament prophecy. And this message that Gabriel was giving Zechariah about Elizabeth and about who John the Baptist would be created great anticipation. And what is it that God says about John? There will be what? Great joy and gladness at his birth. Now, you know, there's a reason that God puts this in his word, and it's not only to communicate about who John the Baptist was, but it's also to speak into our hearts and into our lives to show how God sees you as well. Now, look, we get a lot of messages about who we are and who we're supposed to be, right? And I don't know the voices that you've heard from the past or the voices that you hear in the present or even the voices that you may think exist in the future that speak into who you are, that form who you are, or even possibly could deform who you are and who you are to become. But what I want you to hear and what I want you to understand this morning is how your Heavenly Father sees you. And when God knits you together, and he created you, let me tell you something, there was great joy and gladness. Do you know that that's how God sees you? I mean, do you know that when God created the universe and everything in it, that you represent the apex of the creation of God? Did you know that you are made in the image of God himself? Genesis tells us that when God created everything in the world, he said what? It is good. It is good. And then when he created humans, what is it that he said? It is what? Now, say it with me. Very good. Because you were created in the image of God. Now, we need to draw a distinction here. It doesn't mean that you are God, right? That's where we get it wrong, okay? When we think that we are God, that there's something that's in us that makes us equal with God. No, there is a big difference between the creator and the created. But you are made in the image of God himself, which means that in this world, he created you to be a reflection of who he is. And the best way that we do that is by reflecting his son, Jesus Christ. And because you are created in the image of God, there is great joy and gladness. And you know that the biblical picture of who you are as a child of God is that God, your heavenly Father, dances over you? Did you know that a biblical picture of who you are as a child of God is that God, as your creator, as your heavenly Father, bends his knee down to listen close to you? He created you, and there is great joy and gladness in who you are. You are a masterpiece created by the hands of God himself. But it doesn't stop there. That's just who God says that you are. That's where we begin. And we need to understand that we are created in his image. But look at this description about John the Baptist as we continue. Look at the very first part of verse 15. So verse 14 says, "You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord." Can you imagine being described like that? Gabriel, this angel, delivering not his message, but the message of God to Zechariah about John the Baptist, says he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. So not only is there this joy and there's this gladness around the arrival of John and the creation of John and the birth of John, not only do you have that same joy and that same gladness in your heavenly Father, but did you know that you have great kingdom purpose? That not only does God see you and that he loves you and he created you and put you together with great joy and gladness, but he gives you a great kingdom purpose. He created you for a reason. Do you have a sense of the purpose that God gave you in this world and in this life? Now, we're going to talk about that a little more specifically a little later. But when you think about the purpose of your life, is it all pointed toward Jesus? Because remember, what was John's purpose in this life? Prepare the way. His whole life was about pointing to Jesus. It was about pointing to the Messiah. It was all about his place in the kingdom of God, where he was right with God and he led others to Christ as well. Listen to how John the Baptist has continued to be described. Not only was there great joy and gladness at his birth, not only was he great in the eyes of the Lord, but look at the second part of verse 15. "For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth." So you were created in the image of God for a great kingdom purpose. But you know, God doesn't just stop there. He doesn't just kind of put you out in the world and say, "Okay, I've created you for a purpose. Go figure that out." Do you know that because the Bible says here in this passage that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you know that when we come to Christ and we step into salvation and the Holy Spirit enters into our life, enters into our heart, that you are filled with the Holy Spirit? And that's more than just a feeling. That's more than just a religious reality. There's something very practical about that, because the Holy Spirit fills us and the Holy Spirit also gifts us. Did you know that you are packed to the gills with spiritual gifts? I love to think about it like that. Like, God can't get any more in you. That when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you're completely filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, it's a working out of what that looks like in your life from the moment that you are saved, but that you are gifted through the Holy Spirit to fulfill the purpose that God has given you in His kingdom? Did you know that you're uniquely gifted as a creation of God to serve a purpose that He has for you? Do you have a sense of that this morning? See, that's who John the Baptist was, and that's when we see him begin to be described. But that's also a reflection of the image of God in you as well. Let's look at the fourth thing. Not only was he filled with the Holy Spirit, and that means that you're packed to the gills with spiritual gifts as well. But look at verse 17. I love how John the Baptist is described. Now I'm going to continue at the end of verse 15 there. Verse 16, we'll start, and he says, "And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah, and he will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." The final thing that we see about John the Baptist in this description of who he is that he turned the hearts of the people. Now, you know, Luke is not just making this up. He's not just coming up with these words out of nowhere. This actually, he's being inspired by the Holy Spirit, but it's actually also a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. If you turn back to the very last book of the Bible, Malachi, just listen to these words as I read these to you. Malachi chapter 4, all of the Old Testament ends with these words, looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. And listen to how God prepares the people of the Lord for the coming of the Messiah. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, "Look, I'm sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives." Now, how is John the Baptist just described? As having the power, the spirit and the power of who? Of Elijah. His preaching, this is back to Malachi, "His preaching will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers." How is it that John the Baptist is described by Gabriel to Zechariah? He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. Do you see how John the Baptist, in his arrival, is the very fulfillment of who God said would come as a prophet to prepare the way of the Lord? He said he's going to be a heart turner. He's going to be somebody that turns the hearts of the people to God and toward each other. Did you know that because you're created in the image of God and because he calls you to be in relationship with Jesus Christ, that when you step into faith in Jesus, that you're empowered by the work of the Holy Spirit to be a heart turner? Have you ever thought about yourself that way? Not in your own power, not in your own strength, but just to step into what God is already doing in the lives of the people around you, the lives of the people closest to you, to be a part of his salvific work in bringing people to himself. Who was it that was a heart turner in your life? You know, salvation is a work of God. It's something that he does in our hearts and in our lives. But what I've seen over and over and over again is that he uses people in our lives to point us to Christ, doesn't he? Who was it in your life that was a heart turner in your life? You know, I immediately think about my parents. I was fortunate enough to grow up in a Christian home where both my mother and my father are strong believers. I was fortunate enough to grow up in a home where not only my mother and my father, but my grandparents, but all four were strong believers. And they did things long before I was aware of my need for Christ to begin to turn my heart little by little toward Christ. I remember praying around a table before we ate a meal. I remember seeing my parents read their Bible. You know, every time the doors of the church was open, my parents, they took our family and we were there. They placed us right in the midst of a community of people that were following the Lord, that built into me and step by step turned my heart towards Christ. I kind of picture it as they started putting these logs on a fire that wasn't lit yet. They would pray for me when I didn't know that they were praying for me. They would care for me when I needed care. They would point me towards Jesus. They involved me in worship. They built me up in Christ long before I even knew my need for Christ. And every step along the way was another log on a fire that eventually, when I was 10 years old and I heard the gospel and I understood the gospel for the first time, and I knew that it was Jesus that I needed more than anything else to be forgiven of my sins, the Holy Spirit lit that fire. But He used people in my life to turn my heart toward Him. You know, that decision to follow God, to follow Christ in salvation, was foundational for my life. But it didn't just stop there. It was kind of funny, you know, talking about my grandparents. When I surrendered to ministry, I called my grandmother Watson. This is my mom's mom. And you just had to know my grandmother. But I said, "Grandmother," I said, "guess what? I've surrendered to ministry." Do you know what she said? "Well, it's about time." Who are those people that see who you are in Christ long before you step into that reality? Do you know that you can be that for someone else too? You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be better than everybody else. You just have to be obedient to what the Lord is leading you to do in His life. You know, we're hearing stories of that going on all of the time. Do you remember the impact cards? Who are those three people that you maybe wrote down on that impact card? We're hearing story after story after story of people coming to Christ because you're praying for them, because you're stepping out and you're talking to them about their relationship with the Lord. But you know that we're actually seeing other things that are literally coming true that reflect the words of this passage. You know, when God said that He would turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, that wasn't just something that was just an illustration. It's a literal thing. I mean, we're hearing stories of family reconciliation that's happening, where literally the hearts of the fathers are being turned toward their children, where literally the hearts of the children are being turned toward their fathers. You know, when we make our relationship with God right through Jesus Christ, isn't it great how every other relationship can begin to fall in place when we see that happen? And it's only in Christ where I see that happen. Look, you're a heart turner. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit, gifted, created, made in the image of God, and called to a great kingdom purpose. So how do you step into it? Let's talk about that a little bit. Turn with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 3 verses 1 through 6, and let's look at how we can prepare the way for others to know the Lord by stepping into the unique original call that He has on your life. How can you be an original in Christ? Matthew chapter 3 verses 1 through 6. Now, this is John the Baptist as an adult stepping into what God has prepared for him in his life. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. "In those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. His message was, 'Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near.' The prophet Isaiah was speaking about John when he said," and listen to these words, these sound familiar, "'He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for Him.'" Now, what was it that was the message, the sermon, that we see John saying in the wilderness? "Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near." I love that. Do you know why I love that so much? It's the very first sermon that we have recorded in the Gospels that Jesus preached. Turn over just a couple of pages. If you read ahead in your Bible, you're going to see that John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. Can you imagine being the person that baptized the Messiah? Great in the eyes of the Lord. Great kingdom purpose. And then we see Jesus go into the wilderness. He comes out of the wilderness and he begins to preach. And what is it that he says? These very words: repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The shortest sermon ever preached. Don't you wish that every pastor could preach a sermon that was that short and that powerful, right? We're not Jesus. It takes us a little more time. But when you break that down and you look at that, you begin to see how you can prepare the way for others. So let's look at that message that John the Baptist said: repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And let's understand what God has for us in our purpose and how we can apply this very practically in our lives. So the first step that you take is this: discover your purpose as defined by God. Discover your purpose as defined by God. What do you understand your purpose in this life to be? Do you know you have a purpose? I mean, a lot of times when we think about that, I think immediately what our thought goes to is what? Occupation. What is my vocation? What is my occupation? Because so much of our identity, so many times, is wrapped up in that. We see ourselves by what we do. But what we need to understand is that long before we figure out what we do, God has created us to be who we are in Christ. And so the first thing that we have to do to discover your purpose as defined by God is exactly what John the Baptist and Jesus later on say: repent of your sins. Do you understand how repentance and godly purpose in life go together? You cannot separate them, because you will never understand God's purpose for your life until you take a step of repentance and turn from your sins. Now look, I know repentance is not a word that's used outside of the church very much, right? It's a churchy, religious type of word. I mean, were you at work this week or out and about anywhere this week and you heard somebody say, you know, I repented of something this morning? Well, you really should repent of that and do that differently. I mean, this is not common language outside of the group of believers, but I want you to understand that this is biblical language. It's something that reflects the most important step that you can ever take in your life, because repentance is the biblical picture of turning from your sin. And what is it that causes us to be dead, spiritually dead in this life? It's our sin. It's the choice that we make to turn our back on God and go our own way. And if you want to understand God's great purpose for your life, it starts by repenting. Have you done that? Have you asked for the forgiveness of your sins, turned from your sins, and asked God to save you because of His Son's death, burial, and resurrection? It's the most powerful decision that you can ever make in your life, and I would encourage you today, take that step. But there's something we need to be prepared for, because, you know, repentance is not just for unbelievers. Do you know repentance is for believers as well? I mean, it's not just something that you say and that you do one time. It's something that I believe repentance can actually be seen as a spiritual discipline. In other words, look at it like this. Don't look at it as a bad thing. Look at it as a step toward joy. Because if every morning, if as a believer, you woke up and said, God, what is it that you want me to turn from today, so that I can be more of who you created me to be? What would that look like in your life if that became a regular part of your relationship with the Lord? But you know that there's something that I think we need to be prepared for, something we actually need to be warned about, and that's that there is always pushback on repentance. I mean, as soon as John the Baptist preaches this message, as soon as he stands up and he's the voice crying out in the wilderness and all of these people were coming and listening to him, as soon as he stood up and said, repent, there were a group of people that were there, the religious leaders of the day, that absolutely hated that message. There is always pushback on repentance. And as a matter of fact, if you continue to read in this chapter, you see this debate, this argument, let's just call it what it is, a fight that breaks out between John the Baptist and these religious leaders. And this is when he calls these religious leaders, you brood of vipers, you whitewashed tombs. Now listen, if you don't know anything about Jewish culture, those two sentences are like the ultimate burn. I mean, these things hit deep because think about it. You brood of vipers. What's a viper? It's a snake. What is he calling them? Think back to Genesis. You snakes. You are the very embodiment of sin and evil. And then he doesn't stop there. What is it that he calls them next? You whitewashed tombs. Do you know what a whitewashed tomb meant to someone who was Jewish? It was a grave. He was basically saying to them, you're trying to make everything look good and perfect on the outside. You want everybody to think that you are holy. You want everybody to think that you are perfect. But as soon as you look on the inside, there's nothing but death. Look, there's always pushback on repentance. Because when you repent from your sin, you are turning from the self. You are turning from yourself and your own way of doing this life outside of God's will for your life. And that's not a popular message. You know, as a matter of fact, there's something I want to share with you. I don't know if you're familiar with George Barna and his work. He is a guy that is head of an organization that they just kind of do a lot of polls just to kind of get the heartbeat of what's going on in the Christian faith in the United States. And not long ago, George Barna and their organization did a poll that basically was asking about evangelism, about the practice of sharing our faith with others. And here's what it showed. There were some things that were very good and there's some things that were very disturbing. Now, we've got a graphic that's on the screen behind me that kind of shows you the basics of what it said, but it sounds a little bit like this. Almost all practicing Christians, these were the results of this Barna research, almost all practicing Christians believe that part of their faith means being a witness about Jesus, and that the best thing that could ever happen to someone is for them to know Jesus. In other words, 97%, almost 10 out of 10 believers, there were like 3,600 believers that were polled in this research, were when they were asked, is part of their faith being a witness about Jesus and someone coming to faith in Christ, is it very important and one of the best things that can happen to everyone? Almost everybody said, absolutely. But then there was something else that came up in the research. Millennials, and look, I'm not down on millennials, okay? There is so much that is good about the millennial generation. But there's something that we see unique that is going on there that is a unique challenge. On the one hand, it's very good because when millennials were asked in particular if they felt equipped to share their faith with others. So I think in previous generations, what's been the biggest stumbling block to us sharing our faith? Well, what if they ask me a question and I don't know the answer? What if I say something and it turns them away from the Lord? Well, millennials, actually more than any other generation before them, feel more equipped and more comfortable with their ability to share their faith with other people. But here's the challenge. Almost half of them, 47%, said that to share their faith with somebody else that's not a believer is wrong. Now think about what that means. What that means is that this is what's going on. We are basing the practice of sharing our faith on what we think somebody else feels, because they believe that it was wrong to share their faith because they might feel judged. So what we think about how somebody else feels. Now, let me ask you a question. In relationships, how does that typically work out when you go ahead and decide how the other person feels and then you treat them according to what you think about how they feel? Anybody married? This does not work out well, does it? But that's the foundation. That's the basis of what we're talking about here. So we need to make this switch to understanding that if the Holy Spirit has empowered you and He's nudging you towards sharing your story of faith in Christ with somebody else, God is already at work there. Don't worry about the feelings. Don't worry about the emotions, because we don't know what people think and what they feel. And people, a lot of times, don't share that. So if God is nudging you in that direction, what do? Step into it. Step into it and just share according to the Lord and how He is working in your life and how He's obviously working in their life. Look, there's always going to be pushback. Don't let that stop you from repenting and sharing your story of repentance at the same time. So discover your purpose as defined by God. Your purpose as defined by God foundationally is to be in right relationship with Him through Christ. It's not just your job. It's not just your occupation. It's not just your identity as a man, a woman, a father, a mother, a daughter, a son, a brother, a sister. All of that grows out of who you are in Christ. Foundationally, your purpose is to be in relationship with God through Christ. The second thing is this, to step into your gifts. What's the second thing that John the Baptist says? Repent of your sins and turn to God. When you repent from your sins, you're turning away from sin, but what are you doing? You're turning to God. And when you step into your gifts, basically that's a picture of you saying this, God, I'm turning from what I wanted. I'm turning from what I thought my purpose was in this life. I'm turning toward you, and everything I am, everything that I am about, I am all in for your purposes for my life. And it's pointing all of your giftedness toward God, toward the Lord and His purpose in your life. Let me ask you, we talked a little bit a minute ago about the fact that because of the Holy Spirit, you're filled with the Holy Spirit as a believer, that you're packed to get to the gills with spiritual giftedness. Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? Do you know that God has created you and wired you in a way that you are uniquely gifted for kingdom purposes, but do you know what your gifts are? I want to give you a tool this morning, okay? In your sermon notes there, there's a QR code that if you want to scan that this morning with your mobile device, it's going to take you to a spiritual gift assessment. Let me encourage you to do that. I want to encourage everybody to do that. Even if it's just a reminder for you, even if it's just something that's going to kind of reinforce what you already knew. You don't have to do it right now if you want to, but it's going to take about 15 minutes. It's a pretty thorough assessment. But let me encourage you to scan that QR code, go through that assessment. You're actually going to get some results pretty instantly. You're going to see them in that app. You're going to get an email. And then let me ask you to do this. Now look, these kind of assessments, they just help us to understand a little bit about who we are. They are not biblically authoritative, okay? So in other words, this is what I want you to do. Look at those results and just ask yourself the question, does that sound right? Does that resonate with who I believe God has created me to be in Christ? And if it is, just read those descriptions of those gifts, look into it, and then begin to pray, God, how do you want me to live this gift out? And then you see what God starts to do in your life. This assessment is just a tool, but it's a helpful tool for you to be able to figure out what's the next step for me. So step into your giftedness. And listen, if you need any help understanding or clarifying some of those results, please ask one of us as pastors or elders. We'd love to be able to talk with you about that and kind of walk with you through that, okay? So number one, discover your purpose as defined by God. Number two, step into your gifts. And number three, lead others to Christ. Remember, in Christ, you're a leader. And our job is to lead, once we know Christ, to lead ourselves to Christ daily. God, what is it that you want me to be today? Who is it that you want me to talk to? What is it that you want me to do? But it's also for the purpose of leading others to Christ as well. Repent of your sins. Turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is what? It is at hand. Have you ever heard it in a different version? For the kingdom of heaven is what? Near. Now, what does that mean? When John the Baptist is preaching that, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven being near, being at hand. And he's talking about it as a future reality that is coming, but he's also talking about it as a present reality. Think about the location of Jesus when John the Baptist is preaching this. The kingdom of heaven is near. And here's the message that we need to hear and we need to understand. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, it is a future reality that as believers we are all going to understand for an eternity, but it is also a present reality that is happening here and now. And what we all need to understand is that when we are not living according to our giftedness in God's kingdom purpose that is happening here and now, we're missing out. You're missing out. If our life purpose is off, if we think it's about something that's not God's will for our life, we're missing out on the work that God is doing in and through us. We're missing out on the work that God is doing in the community of believers, in the brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, in the body of Jesus Christ himself. And don't you want to be a part of something like that? Don't you want to understand what God created you for? And don't you want to see him work through you? Step into your giftedness and step into the kingdom purpose that he has for your life and lead those around you to Christ. Remember those impact cards that we handed out I mentioned earlier? Who were your three that you wrote down? Did you miss out on that opportunity to write down three names of people that you know that don't know Christ? Have you been praying for them? Listen, continue to do that. We've heard great stories, but there's still a lot of people that you have written down that you're praying for that keep on praying for them. If you missed out on that opportunity, we've got those impact cards available. You can just stop by the next steps area in the commons on your way out, and you can grab one of those. Look, be praying for people, but take another step. Be inviting. Be an inviting believer. You know, we also have cards available for you that we just call our invite cards. We had them in the seats. We had them actually in the handouts from last week. And you can use these and you can give these to somebody that you know God wants them to come and be a part of what's going on here at New Work Fellowship. What's the next big event that we have coming? Easter. Easter at the Bruce, where we're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you know that there's people right now, between now and Easter, that are going to be looking for, where am I going to go to church? There are people right now who do not know Christ, that they're already looking and they're already open and they're already hearing the Lord speak to them. And wouldn't it be awesome if when God nudged you, you just said, hey, I would love for you to come with us, and give them that invite card to show them a little bit more about who we are at New Work Fellowship. One last tool I want to give you this morning to help you step into this purpose is a tool to help you share your faith. So we know that we've got people that we're praying for. We know that we can be inviting when God gives us that nudge. But what if the Lord shows you somebody, puts somebody in your path, and brings you to that point where you want to share Christ with them to help them be saved? There's another QR code on the bottom of that bottom of those sermon notes that's going to take you to an app that just makes it really simple. It's called Life on Mission app, and it's just three steps. Now, you don't have to use this, but if you kind of picture yourself being in a conversation with someone and you lock up a little bit because you're like, I have no idea what I would actually say. This app, if you just download this, have it on your phone, have it ready, have it available, will walk you very simply through some things that give you some structure to be able to lead people to Christ, to lead them to that point of salvation. Look, we're just trying to equip you, just trying to give you tools, because we know God is at work. Remember, he's not done yet. And there are people outside of this place today that God has plans for to bring here, to bring to Christ, to help them understand their kingdom purpose. And he wants you to be a part of that. Now, are you ready to take that step? Are you ready, if you're on that edge, to take that step of obedience? Today is the day. And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray in just a minute. But after I pray, we're actually going to have a response time this morning. And this altar is open. If you want to talk about salvation, we would love to encourage you and talk to you about taking that step to follow Christ. There's going to be elders and there's going to be pastors available here at the front. If you're interested in following the Lord in baptism, we would love to have you follow the Lord in baptism. The service before this, three baptisms. The service after this, we've got another baptism. I cannot wait for you guys to see the baptism video that we have from this morning. You're in for a special treat, but I'll just stop right there. You got to come back, okay, to be continued. But look, if you're interested in becoming a member of New Work Fellowship, we would love to be able to talk to you about that. If you just want to come to the front this morning and pray, if your heart is heavy for the people of Ukraine, if your heart is heavy for something going on in your life, if your heart is heavy for one of those three or those three people that you wrote down, this is a time where we gather together and respond to the Lord as brothers and sisters in Christ to step into obedience. Let me encourage you to do that as the worship team leads us this morning. As our pastors and elders come forward, would you step forward too and follow Christ today? Let's pray together. God, we come to you this morning and we thank you that you have a call on our lives. And that call centers around knowing you through your Son, Jesus Christ, and being built up in him to be who you created us to be. So we pray that today would be a day of salvation for the lost, a day of building up for believers, and a day where your kingdom grows because of our obedience. God, please draw us close to you and close to each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.